Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon. You better get ready to hold on to your hats, everybody. I got Jane Jenkins Herlong in the building this afternoon. Jane, of course, a former Miss South Carolina. Still looking beautiful, my dear.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, that's right. But she's also a humorist and a book writer, author on Amazon. What do they say about you on Amazon?
Well, I'm just tickled. I mean, I made an F in English. May I just preface it with that? In the top 20 in 10 categories.
How about that, Jane?
But the little Ta-Ta book, this thing, yes, is number one in the Kindle.
How about that?
I'm just amazed at this.
That's right. Now, the book that is in the top 20, that's your one about pearls?
It is. And I've got all
pearls. And
yes.
What's the name of that book?
Bury Me With My Pearls.
Why did you write that book?
I wrote it in memory of my mother. We were very close, and she died 5 years ago last week. And I just took it from the standpoint of seed pearls, which are our small decisions that are really big decisions.
Right.
Really. The oyster shell, which is our home, keep the toxins out.
Right.
And the damaged pearls that God loves. And the dark pearl that can be a treasure or a tragedy, depending on how we look at it. And then the precious pearls of laughter, it's a funny book.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's
got life lessons.
Yeah. Oh, I just like to see the humor. I do. I look for humor all the time.
Now, you know, life hasn't always been easy for you.
No.
And to have a great sense of humor, I think, helps one get through life, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I'll tell you a little story. Can I tell you a story?
Sure, absolutely.
I was at a board meeting. I'm on the Piedmont Technical College board, and one of our commissioners said that his step sister-in-law, who loved her mother, her mother passed away. They were at the funeral, and she left her cell phone on the front pew when she was in the back of the church at the time. And the woman loves The Wizard of Oz, and as soon as they opened the casket for the viewing, the cell phone rang. And it was this song, "Ding dong, the witch is dead, witch oh witch, the wicked witch." And she just like a missile to the front of that church to get. She loved her stepmother.
But you wouldn't have known that by the song, right?
No, I'm going to use that on Blue Collar Radio when I get my next CD sent to them, because that's a good one.
That is a good one.
It's just when unexpected things happen, you know, how do you handle them? And that really is life. What is it? 10% is what happens, but 90% is how we handle it.
Sure.
And that's a challenge.
It is a challenge. Now, you, of course, you're from Edgefield.
Well, and grew up down the low country of Johns Island,
right,
outside of Charleston.
Just let me ask you, were you there when the earthquake happened?
Yes.
How did it feel? Did you say, oh my God, the earth finally did move?
Well, we have an old house with a steep roof, and we've had that sensation of the ice and snow, and I'm going, oh, there it goes again. Hope it didn't kill one of the dogs. So I'm outside with a little flashlight because we had no power.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. That was an earthquake, you know, because I had felt those down in Charleston.
Right.
And, well, and then Facebook blew up, so I knew, you know, what was going on. That was pretty surreal.
Yeah, it really was. And then you had a few aftershocks after that.
Oh, yeah. I felt those, too.
It was weird to have it in Aiken. I mean, not in Aiken, in Edgefield, wasn't it?
It was. And then on the heels of that ice storm, too, it's like, next.
Next.
Everything comes in threes.
Yeah.
Let us pray.
So what have you been doing in the last year?
Well, the book's been very much of a part of my life, promoting it. And I had some wonderful speaking engagements. Wonderful. And just to have that little tag, Amazon best-selling author, has been really good. So right now I am looking forward to going out to Oklahoma City in about 2 weeks, speaking for Women in Agriculture, doing a great thing in October with the Future Farmers of America and their national conference. And that's going to be amazing. Yes. I'm trying to think of a good thing to wear. Might wear overalls, hog washers. So that's been good. I've got some good things. You know, it's just, you just keep hammering away at your passion. You just, something you love to do, you just keep at it. So I'll be going out in, a couple of Healthy Women events coming up. So it's all good. Summer's slow, which is good, because you kind of regroup and reboot and start creating different things. I'm all the time creating things, so working hard.
Well, that's what it's all about. Now, you've been pretty darn successful on Sirius Radio, haven't you?
I have. I've been very, very blessed to have that opportunity because people will call me or email me or, you know, find me on the web and say, oh, that was funny. And I was just coming here listening to another CD that I'm just was in touch with him yesterday, and they said send another one. So I'm fixing to send another one. So that's been a lot of fun just to know that an entity in New York City, SiriusXM Radio, likes your comedy. And you're going, oh, wow, this is amazing. I just thought I was funny. My friends think I'm funny, but they think I'm funny.
Well, what kind of humor do you do, Jane?
Well, I was just listening to one of my little bits, and I've got all kinds of stories. I had one that happened to me in the grocery store, and it was at IGA. I take real-life situations. And, of course, the book's tracking great, and I'm all puffed.
Right.
Woof.
Right.
You know, and this woman says, Casemate, are you Jane Harlong? And I said, I am. She said, I love your book. I said, oh, thank you. Is it the Pearl book? She said, no, it's the one about them titties.
The Tata
yes.
book. Yes. Okay.
And she said, I went, oh. And she said, you know where good it from? And I said, no. She said, a yard sale. It was a quarter. I about died.
Made you feel really good, didn't
yeah.
it, Jane?
Yeah, and then she said, I did the math. You realize that's about 12 cents a titty, just a little over 12 cents a tit. That's what you told. I was in hysterics. And I just could go, oh, thank you for giving me that funny, funny story. So I kind of walked out a little more, you know, down. But
earth.
It was so funny. It really was. And so I look for real life things. I look for church humor. That's a big thing. I was just listening to another bit that I did about my father-in-law who used to botch every Sunday school lesson, but he called Yahweh Yahoo, and we're going to open the book of, instead of Titus, he said, we're going to look in the book of Titus, and just stuff like that. And I love to imitate people. I can do good northern accents and good southern accents, and singing at a nursing home, I had one woman say, darling, you were so good, we done give you a standing ovulation. And that stuff is funny. You cannot make it up.
No, you can't.
You really can't. And so my new CD is called You Can't Make Up This Stuff.
How about that?
Yeah, so I just try to look around and observe humor. But, you know, the sad thing is, when you don't have a positive outlook, you miss it.
Absolutely.
You miss it. You miss some of the most glorious, richest, funniest things if you're not in the mood to see
it. Well, if you are so absorbed on yourself, you can't look around and see what's happening.
You cannot. It just goes, whoop.
Yeah.
And somebody else might see it, you know. But you got to stay balanced, and you have to stay focused, and you have to stay positive. And as a Christian, you know, I read, I study, I pray, that's how I begin my day. I do. I try to be positive. I wake up and, you know, our eyes can pop open and we can start thinking bad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think, nope, I'm not going there. I'm going to think this is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Good things are going to happen today. And so you start out by saying that to yourself. And
sure.
We talked about that with, you know, my audiences need to find the funny and dysfunction, and they need to handle negativity and confront it with grace and with truth.
And you know what?
And with humor.
That's tough in today's world because
yes.
things are not good on the economic situation. A lot of people are struggling. A lot of roles have been reversed. You know, we have women that are the major breadwinners and husbands sitting homes taking the kids. And that's tough on both roles.
Oh, it's devastating for people when they get to be a certain age and used to life being the pendulum swinging just so far left and right in a perfect sync.
Right.
Oh, I mean, when we had the situation in 2007, a lot of people thought their security was pulled out from underneath them in a matter of hours.
Exactly.
And he's gone. It's completely gone and not coming back.
Right.
But the thing is, what we have to do is realize that we have an opportunity to serve other people. And when you get to that, into that, the wheel of misfortune in your own life and you can't get off of it, this is what I tell people. Go to a nursing home. You know, go to a hospital and visit someone. And you will walk out of there a different person.
Yeah, you realize that your
away.
Life is not so bad.
That's right.
Right.
And there are people that have worse problems and worse things going on. It's amazing when you fly. People just...
They unload on you. Yes.
I mean, you're probably never going to see them again, and they know that. And sometimes I've gone, Lord, I believe I told that, you know, but people are just, it's like they're filling up and they just spill it.
They need to unburden themselves.
They do. And if I could sit there and listen and maybe shed some light, that was probably my purpose of being in that seat that day.
You know, when you think about it, the Catholics in confession.
I've always said that.
Yes.
There's something positive about that.
That's right. You don't have to see who it is. You may know who's on the other side there, but you can just let it all hang out, honey.
I said that. The confession is good for the soul.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever that person does is being, you know, you are forgiven or whatever.
Right.
Whatever they do when they step out of that little room is their business.
Right.
But at least they've had a chance to confess it.
Right.
So,
and unburden it.
I
yes.
think it's good for you.
It is. Confession is good for the soul.
Amen, sister.
But not necessarily to the person that you may have done something to for the confession part.
That's
maybe
very
better
true.
To tell somebody else.
Confess it to somebody else first. And see, does that work for you?
Exactly.
Was that bad?
Yeah, it was really bad what I did to him, but do you think I should tell him? All right. Hey, I'm here with Jane Herlong. We're going to have a great conversation this afternoon. If you have a question for Jane, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. She's a motivational humorist, a comedian, and award-winning singer. We didn't even talk about that. Her newest book, or the one she's brought back around, What the Tatas Teach Us. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. I'm right back here. Jane Jenkins Herlong, former Miss South Carolina. In fact, you were down there with the judging. Didn't you work with the South Carolina pageant here?
Well, I did a cameo because we were on television.
Okay.
And they just interviewed me about what it was like when I was in the pageant.
Oh, I see.
I didn't have time to do anything funny. I was going to say, well, we trip over our swimsuits.
Right, there you go.
So long. Yeah. But that was kind of fun to do that.
Well, you know, seriously, I bet what do you think about the pageants today versus when you were in the pageants?
Yeah, I hate to say it because I love what the system does for women.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a springboard and helps you learn about style, poise, fitness, the whole deal. It was like Hollywood, and I got to ride the very last wave of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Miss South Carolinas were movie stars to me. I mean, I would just drool. I mean, every single one that comes back, I still go, you know, because they were awesome. I mean, Miss America was a movie star.
Right.
Any state queen. So it's not what it used to be because girls are not necessarily interested in that kind of competition. They'd rather play softball, my daughter did,
mm-hmm.
or volleyball, or, you know, they have so many other avenues to be competitive.
Sure.
So, but just this year, sitting there and looking at the crop of girls, they were amazing. They were just amazing. And a lot of people kind of brush it off like, pageants, you know, self-absorbed little divas. But a lot of these women have great platform projects. There's a girl named Lindley Mayer, and she was first brought up to Miss South Carolina last year. I mean, she has two special needs siblings, and that's all she does. She has a philanthropy project called Ladybugs, Lindsay's Ladybugs. I remember reading about it. She's an amazing young woman, and she's done a lot of great things. So with the little narcissistic beauty queen, oh, it's all about me, world peace.
Right.
There are those who truly want to give back, and they are rock stars, in my opinion. Whether they get the crown or not, they're huge winners because they're going to take that through life.
Absolutely.
And do something awesome with it.
Well, and it's a help. You know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a little boost up there. So, you know, Allie Rogers, we were just talking about her.
Love her.
I mean, we had her on the air. I remember the day she came in here and she put her crown on and she was only with her heels and everything, what, 6'6"?
8 feet.
So I felt like a midget and Jeff felt even shorter because he was standing beside her, you know.
She has such deep convictions and her Christian faith and her values are so strong. And Brooke Mosteller, who was Miss South Carolina this past year, same kind of personality. And Lainey Hudson, who was crowned a couple weeks ago, same kind of personality. Wonderful women that love, they're faithful in their walk, and they love to serve. And Allie's amazing, and I'm so excited for her new job with the bowl system. She's moving out to Dallas. She is, and I think she's the 23rd. And she has graduated, but she won't be able to walk, I don't think, because of her job. But she's right interning with the man who is the head of the new bowl system.
Wow.
That they have done away with the BCS. And so this is her new job, and what an opportunity.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just fabulous. And then Brooke Mosteller is going back to law school to get her law degree. And then that darling Bree Boyce, who lost 125 pounds and won Miss South Carolina in the top 12 at Miss America, she's got a fantastic future in front of her. I'll see her tomorrow. But they all, you know, we get together as a sisterhood.
Right.
And we all just love each other. Let me tell you a really cute story. In our 75th anniversary, our oldest Miss South Carolina, we were all bragging, trying to impress each other about what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. And she stood up and she said, I got y'all beat. I had a really good colonoscopy.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Well, and it was like, oh, okay. Well, seriously, I mean, when you get to be a certain age, that's a huge accomplishment.
There you go.
So, I mean, she just put it in perspective, you know. But I think she went on to become Miss Universe as well. I mean, she's gorgeous still. Just love her.
Well, you know, I think we saw the picture that was on Facebook with Governor Haley and all of you together there. What a group. What a group.
Yes, and they're all lovely. They're all lovely people. And we cheered each other on, and we keep in touch, and we share our sad moments, and we share. Thrift Bradshaw just lost her mama, and we're all blowing up Facebook praying for her and sending her words of encouragement, and we've all, you know, Donna Jewell, whom I crown, wonderful person. She shared with me something that's heartbreaking in her life, and we pray about that. And, you know, we are truly a sisterhood.
I think that's great.
It is.
Because
we love
each
other.
It's not something you would expect out of what you think of prissy, narcissistic beauty queens.
You get past all that, because that does not last. You do not look like that person that wore that crown. That's gone, G-O-N-E, and if you try to get it back, it's going to be very strange. But we've moved into different parts of our lives, and we support each other with our children, our aging parents, our husbands, and, you know, careers, whatever we are doing, or if we're slowing down or speeding up or whatever. We're just a group of women that support each other and have that Miss America bond.
I think that's terrific. Now, just for the just out of curiosity, what made you decide to become a public speaker and get into comedy and everything? What was the thought process that said, I can do this? You already told us you failed English here, and here you are writing two or three books here.
Yeah. Working on another one in my mind. Well, I think when I moved to Johnston and I saw that it was a small town, sweet people, I just thought, you know, what can I do here? I love to sing. I'm a singer. And I just started doing singing in churches. And then I would just speak a little bit. And then I started telling funny stuff. And then I was telling more funny stuff. And people were saying, well, that's a wonderful, I love that song, but that's funny. Do you have that on tape? And then so people kind of tell you.
Right.
So then I moved into schools. I was at that age where I could really tell the children. I was told I was dyslexic, bless your heart, God love you, you'll never do anything with your life. And here I went all the way to Miss America from a background. My daddy was a 10th grade educated farmer. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. That was my message. And then I kind of aged out of that. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, so then I joined the National Speakers Association. And then I learned how to market to larger clients. And then I started having children. And so that made me reevaluate how many times and how much I was charging. And it just it's a metamorphosis of going from, like, I'm a motivational speaker, or I'm a singer, I'm a motivational speaker. No, I'm not. I'm a humorist. That's what I'm doing. I'm a motivational humorist. I have a message here. Now I'm a singer who's a motivational humorist. Now I'm an author. So I just keep trying different things and seeing what sticks. And I just got picked up on Pandora. And that's great.
That's huge.
I mean, so I keep sending stuff. I've got an approval, and they haven't aired it yet. Another comedy thing, and then I'm going to send some singing. So I've Jane Herlong Radio on Pandora.
Okay.
And I mean, it's just, I'm amazed. And, you know, I'm going, that really happened, pinch, pinch. Because I'm a country girl. I was raised in a tomato field. I mean, you know, mom and daddy, we all down home kind of people.
Right.
And so I've always just lived by that. Just be who God made you to be. Just try to be the best at that. Exploit your talents, serve other people, and have fun all along the way. And that's kind of my theme.
Well, I think you've been very blessed out there to do these things, but I think you have a hand in making it happen.
I just keep, you know how it is, Ann. Hey. You just keep stepping, maybe a bigger step and a bigger step and a bigger step. And when someone says no, you think next. I mean, I sent my stuff out to this fellow, this friend of mine out in Nashville, and he listened to it and said, oh, it's old, stale. I said, thank you. I don't listen to all that. I sent it anyway, and I'm being played pretty consistently.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Hey, we're here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the things that she sees out there that women could use some help with. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here with Jane Jenkins Herlong, having a good time. She's a speaking professional. She's a award-winning author on Amazon. She's got her book out there, What Tatas Teach Us. She's also got another book there, Bury Me With My Pearls. And you just have a good time doing these, don't you?
I do. I just take notes. It's like journaling, you know. Yeah. When something happens, you go, oh, I got to remember that. That's good. That's a good point. Another little story?
Sure.
In our Sunday school class a couple weeks ago, we have a member, we were talking about how the scripture wants us to stay positive and focus on the good, the positive, the pure. He said he was 17 years old, went to boot camp, scared to death. And he prayed. He said, God, please send me a sign. And he looked on his dog tags and it said, be positive. And he said, that is God. And he kept staring at those dog tags when the going got rough in that boot camp time. And after it was all over, his bunkmate said, how did you make it through? What is it? Because you have been so, you just stuck to it. How'd you do it? And he said, look at my dog tags. It was a message. I prayed, be positive. The guy said, really? Look at my dog tags. It said, O negative. It was his blood type. Isn't that funny?
That's funny.
But that's a good story.
Absolutely. It's a great story.
Yes.
Because you're figuring, how could his dog tags say, be positive?
Right. But yes. He held on to that. And he really thought at the age 7, he didn't know what it was. At age 17, he thought it was a miraculous occurrence. So he just held on to it and kept reading his dog tags. And then that's a good one.
Absolutely.
That's real life stuff.
That is real life stuff. And, you know, life is all about the experiences that we have. And I know that a couple of the experiences that you've had recently, I follow you, I get your little things that you're writing about and everything. And I remember seeing the story about the 100-year-old lady that you were visiting. Can you tell us about that story?
Yes.
It's a great one.
I have been trying to get this job, and out of the blue, this wonderful, precious BFF now named Susan Blake called me, booked me to speak at the Abilene, Texas Woman's Club, and it was a ball. And there, the first person through the door was 101-year-old Dr. Virginia Connolly, who is amazing. Amazing.
101.
101. Works out 3 times a week with her personal trainer. Just returned from giving, going to an event. Well, I'm sure she gave a lovely building to her old college.
Okay.
And very much of a philanthropist.
Okay.
Amazing human being. And I just could sit at her feet and listen to her because she is a library of life and experiences. But she's positive. And that evening, she had guests from the Baptist Missionary Association stay with her. And she brought them to my show at the Abilene Theater. So we just had a ball. It was a great, that stood out this year as one of my absolute favorite speaking engagements in Texas.
Well, when you look at it, she was born 1914, 1913. I mean, you know, as far as a time perspective, she went through the Great Depression. She went through World War I, World War II. Korea, Vietnam. I mean, she's lived through it all.
And her husband was a huge political figure. He could pick up the phone and talk to John Connolly, like, boom, you know. I mean, and those are old names. If people remember, he was in the car with Kennedy, you know, when Kennedy was assassinated. But she has an amazing, very rich past and fascinating, but very positive person. Have you noticed that? The older people get many times, if they're going to have quality living, they're positive people. Because they know what to embrace and what to let go. They know not to major in the minors. You know, life is short but wide.
Right.
And they know how to keep it where it is not so polluting your head. That's what I found with people that are older. Some people just get bitter and just pass away. Some people stay positive and they enjoy the last day of their lives.
They are people that are out there right to the end doing something, whether it's for somebody else or enjoying life or enjoying their family. They're positive people.
I think so. Have you found that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think
you're right.
It's fascinating.
Now, I also like this picture of you standing in front of a huge stretch limo, and the marquee overhead has Jane Herlock. I mean, that had to be one of those, oh, my God, what a moment.
I was stricken mute, I tell you. When Susan said, we're going to send the call, it's real nice. And as that stretch limo, brand new stretch limo pulled in, I said, this is a mobile home. And you know, it's got all the amenities. I mean, this guy even made a special DVD for me to watch, old singers, you know, like Nat King Cole and all the greats, Frank Sinatra and all the music I love. And I'm just going, pinch me. This is amazing. And then to see that marquee in that beautiful old theater with my name and lights and all that. I've had my speaker friends say, how did you do that? I said, that was God's hand. So it was that night was like a Hollywood moment for me. It really was.
And then what, you were out on the, they had a changing billboard and you were trying to get a picture of your name on the billboard?
And Susan kept saying, it's after Ashley Furniture. They said, no, pest control. You're after the pest control.
What a place to be, Jane, after the pest control.
And I'm in the middle of the interstate, people blowing their horn like, you idiot. I'm going, no, that's my name up there.
I'm from South Carolina. I don't get this kind of treatment back there.
I don't have it at all. So that was, I hated to leave. I'm thinking, please don't take off the glass slipper. You know, it was too magical.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, people are, they're wonderful people in this country. Susan is a tremendous giver. I mean, that's all she does is figure out ways to, that Abilene, Texas, they've got it going. I mean, they've got a rock solid group of women that keep that place hopping. They're just amazing. I was so inspired. I really was.
You know, I think that's what sometimes we need, that inspiration, though, don't we? I think women in general, I think we, just by the very nature of us being women, we basically are the givers. That's been our role, as a giver to the family.
Yes.
You know, whether it's to your parents or to your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with this economy, we've spent so much time giving that in some cases, a lot of women are just really depleted.
They are. They're empty. They're on E. And they come to these events that I've been doing across the country, sponsored by Healthy Women. That's a CHS program. Trinity in Augusta patronizes that program. And there's several in the state, but they come and it's like their vacation. There's a fabulous meal, door prizes, and a speaker. And I've been enjoying doing many of these because they just want to laugh. They bring in somebody who makes people laugh. And just have that, just a mental vacation. And because the hospital's saying, hey, we want you to come to us to get your mammograms, get your colonoscopies. And I've written that real funny, cute little song. If you're a healthy woman, clap your hands. If you've had a mammogram, clap your hands. If your breasts you have checked in the shower when you're wet, then you're a healthy woman, clap your hands. If you've had your legs in stirrups, stomp your feet. If you covered with the sheet, stomp your feet. If you promise not to swear, and it's time for your pap smear on your legs, please use some Nair and wash your feet. And then I go and shake your booty for the colonoscopy. Drink the fluids of the doctors they can see. If there are polyps in your tract, have them out and be relaxed. Shake your booty for the colonoscopy. Okay, last verse. Fan your face if you're hot all the time. And you can't sleep to weigh after 9. If you're afraid to sneeze. And the chin hair you must tweeze, and you tinkle in your drawers, cause we know it's, everybody goes, menopause. So be a healthy woman, clap your hands, clap, clap, Everybody loves that little song. Yeah, it's just a way to remember to take care of your breast, your you know, your OB appointments, and your you know, go see your gynecologist and go get your mammograms, go get the colonoscopies, you know, go to the hospital that's they're providing these services and take care of you. And please stop putting yourself on the back burner. If you've got a problem, if you are stressed out, go see a mental health expert. I have. After my mama died, my sister died back to back, I was passionate about sitting down with someone because I knew when that those stages of grief was were going to hit me.
Right.
And the anger and all of that. And it does come. And you have to go through every one of them. I read books religiously. I wanted to grieve healthily, in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. So I went to see a Christian counselor. I mean, and that's one of the greatest things I've done. For myself, you know, I said, I want to do this right.
I think that's one of the things women don't see, that they need to do it for themselves. There's only so much money. The kids need this. My husband needs this. And so we end up doing that. We just say, I'll catch it later.
And there's some things you cannot afford not to do for yourself. And that's why women get themselves in a downward spiral, and they look and they've gained 30 pounds and they're depressed and they're tired, and it's that cycle. And it's, I see a lot of this.
Yeah, I bet you do, particularly traveling and working with the different hospital systems and everything.
Yeah, and be proactive.
You do. You do. So here we are. We're here with Jane Jenkins, her long bare feet to high heels. Can you believe it? She's done it. Hey, don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, with my friend Jane Jenkins Herlong. We're just talking about so much stuff off the earth. Hard to know what to get back to. Now, what was that little song you were telling me about?
Oh, the Dixie Diva?
The Dixie Diva, yes.
I call myself that because I remember we went to Myrtle Beach, that wonderful new shopping area. I can't remember the name of it. It's where the Air Force Base used to be in Myrtle Beach, and they built a huge... So everybody's going down to Ann Taylor, and of course, I'm like the little raven, and I have to go to the little shop called Dixie Divas. And everything's blinged up, and
right.
That's me looking all the bling and the rhinestones. And I started thinking, you know what? I'm a Dixie Diva in an Ann Taylor world. My girlfriends love me. They rock my world. They give me permission to be authentic, and they help me when I whine and act pathetic. And that's true.
Yeah.
You know, so I just wrote a song about girlfriends. It's funny.
You know. And I think having girlfriends for women in today's world, one of my things is I think that you need those friends that you had when you were growing up or mm-hmm. through college. Because I think sometimes once we get out in the world and we start moving around and you pick up friends, but it's very rare to pick up that true friend that knew you back in college or in high school and everything.
Well, those are so rare because if there's something later in life that might pop up, and be a chokehold or a stronghold,
mm-hmm.
you're the person that goes, yeah, because when we were children, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You have a past with that person.
Sure.
So.
And they accepted you the way you were.
Right. And you can shed some light on maybe some issue that they're dealing with that popped up its ugly head and they need to address.
Sure.
Could be something way back that they buried and need to dig it up.
Sure. And we do bury things, don't we?
Oh, we do. And if it's not properly handled, it's like septic tank stuff. It'll seep out somewhere, and you're going to be in trouble. Yeah. And it contaminates a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. So you've got your What Tatas Teach Us. Now, what is the whole purpose of the Tata book?
Well, my sister had breast cancer. She quit having mammograms, honest to goodness. And she had to have a double mastectomy. And it was very traumatic. She did survive it, and she was in recovery for a long time. But she, sadly, right after my mother died, she died of a heart problem. She just did not take care of herself. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm very passionate about sharing with health groups, is because people need to move themselves up, as we mentioned, about
right.
women moving themselves back.
Right.
So the book basically takes all the stages of adolescence. I mean, I've got a funny thing in there, and it says... you know, the little song, be careful with your eyes, what you see, hands, what you do, feet, where you go. And then I said, and also, you young girls, be careful with your tatas, what you do. Because if you don't, if you use cleavage to get attention, why not move that up to cleverage?
Cleverage.
And okay, that's a Jerry Bass line I'm taking from him, old McDonald's fish camp.
Okay.
Cleverage. So think about what you're doing. Because so many girls wonder why they get, you know, in trouble.
Right.
And you find their bodies later in a swamp and they're scantily clad with their clothes, you know, really ridiculous.
Right.
And it also says get rid of what hurts you. Women, when they're diagnosed with breast cancer and they get double mastectomies or like my sister did, they get rid of the cancerous things in their bodies. Why not get rid of the cancerous things that are cancerous to your mind? Get rid of what hurts you. Embrace what helps you. And that's a whole little life lesson in there. And have great support, like a bra supports.
Right.
We need to have people that are supporting us. We need to find those special girlfriends or just people.
Sure.
So it goes through all the different changes. And like, I breastfed my child, but that taught me to be a nurturer. You know, and where does true beauty? I mean, and I'm a pageant girl. True beauty is what I saw when my mother was so sick and dying, is in the face of a caregiver. That kind, kind person, her name was Evelyn. And she now has been moved up into the Roper Hospital system. Mm-hmm. But she would clean my mother's room, and she would mumble. And I said, Evelyn, I couldn't imagine. She said, I'm praying for your mother. Was that not sweet?
Yes, it was.
And then I would see her later, and she was like in records, and my mother loved her. She just loved her. That is the true meaning of beauty. Someone who would be so beautiful on the inside. And we hear it all our lives.
Sure.
Beauty is skin deep. But it truly is.
Absolutely.
So you look for things like that. It's, although the cover is cute and catchy and funny.
Right.
It's got some very, and it's serious. It's serious. But you give it to someone that you think needs a boost or might be dealing with some breast cancer issues or just, it's just a girlfriend book is really what it is.
And it's a very easy read.
Oh, it doesn't take but a second.
Now, where did you write that book?
I was sitting in the beauty shop with my good friend Carrie Klein. She was doing my hair, and her daughter's heavily endowed. And I said, huh, those things teach us some life lessons. And we started playing with it. And I said, wait a minute. And I always take my laptop wherever I go, and I started writing down life lessons from the Tatas. So I just, you know, threw it up on Amazon, and I just had to quit because the Pearl book came out. So you can actually download this, What Tatas Teach Us. It's free. It's got beautiful artwork in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free, but it's got a URL, the link to the Pearl book. So it has a mission.
Right.
You know, but it's a fun little giveaway. And, of course, I have, you know, hard copies, too.
Sure.
Share.
All right. So, you know, I happened to be looking through your book here, Bare Feet in High Heels. I happened to see the big Southern beauty queen hair.
Yeah, that was special in the 80s. We blew it out, honey.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's the big moment being crowned Miss South Carolina 1980.
Yes, many moons ago.
That was a shock. Do you ever think back on that now?
Oh, I do. I think of that moment, and can I tell you a little story about that? You never know who you're going to meet. I would go to these festivals, and they were huge back then, the Miss Southern 500, the Peach Festival, and that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't had a Peach Festival in years, and the Peach Queen had to give a speech for every minute she was the Peach Queen, and she was already old, and it was like, please, my feet were killing me. Anyway, I was first runner-up. But I met this guy. His name was Big Red, and he's since passed away. He was obnoxious, kind of redneck type. He'd drive up in his big old white Cadillac, ooga, 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 and give out silver dollars and Big Red chewing gum. That was his big thing. The next pageant, Red and I became friends. The next pageant I went to, they said, don't even talk to that guy. He's a big old redneck, just he's a pest. And I just thought he was a sweetheart, he's a teddy bear. So sure enough, he came around with his big old white Cadillac, ooga horn. I just jumped off my float and hugged him and all that. Never didn't win that pageant. I don't even know if that got me in trouble.
You messed up there, right? Yeah.
But here I am at the Miss South Carolina pageant. We're under lock and key. Security's everywhere. It's the night of the pageant. We're doing TV rehearsals. They said, Miss Charleston, telephone. And I thought, who in the world is calling me here? I mean, that's before cell phones.
Right.
And I heard, hey, sweet thing. I said, Red, what are you doing? He said, darling, I was just on the phone. You know, Henry Bernhardt. I said, Henry Bernhardt, that's my chief judge. He said, yeah, I just called him up and says, you was a nice girl. And you has always been nice to me and never acted like I was a nothing. And I just want to tell you, I done told him that, how special you is. And he told me you're going to win tonight. So congratulations. You're going to be the next Miss South Carolina. I dropped the phone.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you. Well, and I don't think that won it for me.
Right.
But look at that. Because I was nice and, you know, kind to him and didn't treat him like, you know, like other people did. He that went to his heart. And he told my chief judge that. What are the odds of that ever happening? That was a huge life lesson to me about treating people like, you know, you love people and you use things. You don't use people and love things. You know, you love people.
Yes.
And so that to me was a tremendous, and that story's in there. It's called Hey There, Sweet Thing.
Well, now, question. Here you are. You've just been told you're going to win it, right?
Right.
You're doing TV rehearsals.
Right.
They get down to the last two, the two, right? And then they're going to announce who is the winner. How did you feel when you were standing on the stage? What were you thinking at that moment?
I was just, to be honest, what you're doing is you're looking at all these other people that you think can beat you become your runners-up.
Right?
And you're kind of going, whoo! Yeah. Whoa, I really could win this thing. Oh my goodness, she's third. I thought she'd at least win or be first. And then when it gets down, you're going, and ten of us were standing
right.
up there.
Right.
And so you knew that when, you know, you've got five people left, one of them is going to be, and you start looking around thinking, all the people I thought would win are up on the stage.
Yeah, but
the,
Jane, you got to be standing there saying, did he really tell me I could win?
I know. But he going all through your mind, is this really real? You know, but like I said, I don't think that won it. But that story was so personal and special because I never treated him like he wasn't special, you know. So that resonated with me. And
Ever talk to him afterwards about that?
I think I saw him in a bunch of things.
I just wonder, you know, I would have to say, did you just tell me that because?
No, he and this guy were friends.
Oh, my God. Jane Herlong, you heard it right here on WCRS. Hey, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Now, Jane, if people want to find out more about you, mm-hmm. how do they find out about you?
Go to www.janeherlong.com. HERLONG.com. And that the website, I'm very proud of that. And it's fun. There's contact info. And I'm open to make people laugh and feel better about themselves and entertain with fun music and fun humor.
Absolutely. Well, Jane, it's always a delight to have you here on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is WCRS. We've been talking with Jane Jenkins Herlong. Gracie, you've been excellent. Yes,
yay,
thank you
Gracie.
Very much. Bye-bye, everybody.
Darling.